scripture reading this evening is taken from James, the second chapter. I'll be reading verses 14 through 26. 14 through 26, James chapter 2. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be you warmed and filled, but you do not give to them the things that are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus, also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. So someone will say, you have faith, and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac, his son, on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. To see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? Whereas the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also.
Well, good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Good to see each and every one of you. We're always so thankful for the opportunities that we have, the words of God, spirit and truth. Thankful for Mickey for that reading. He always asked for a long one. I finally got him one. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes I'm just getting from certain places. But for this month, we've been going through the book of James a little bit and trying to pull out some lessons. James is certainly a powerful book, one that many individuals in the denominational world struggle a great deal with and try to avoid. Martin Luther was one of those. He really struggled with the book of James and probably the section that was just read. You know, when it comes to individuals being saved, Certainly, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 9, it talks about being saved by grace through faith. And many times our religious neighbors, our denominational friends will turn there when they're trying to talk their way away from baptism. And really, it's an unfortunate thing because I think Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 9, I've got no issue with it. In fact, I think it really gives us the complete picture that we need. Because typically in the religious world, what happens is people will lean one of two ways. They'll lean extremely heavy on grace, or they'll lean extremely heavy on faith, in particular, the work. And really, when we look at individuals becoming a Christian, being saved, we have grace, we have faith, and we do have work. And I'd like to look at those three this evening as we kind of consider James chapter 2. Because I think that we can come to a conclusion that when we think of an individual becoming a Christian, grace needs to be there and faith needs to be there. And if we leave out one or the other, we're certainly not really looking at the Bible, I believe, with the correct lens. But so many times, people lean very heavily on one or the other. And certainly, there's a balance there that is to be had, and certainly both are needed. Let me just read that, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. It says, by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Now, as you look at James and we start reading through here, we start to see this idea that a faith is connected with works. Because the question I think we have to ask ourselves this evening is, what type of work are we talking about? And that is what I think many people miss, is there are different types of work in the Bible. And I think that we'll be able to see that. But when you read James chapter 2, certainly, James chapter 2, as we start to look at the second half, the first part of James chapter 2 is really talking about favoritism, which is a good and important topic. But really, this evening, as we look at the powerful case that's made for faith, the idea that if the faith is not accompanied with work, it's a dead faith. And really, there's a whole bunch of questions that are really posed there. Can that type of faith save? And we start to look at Abraham, and Abraham was justified by works. And we just see a very powerful case on the faith side of things, but certainly I believe that grace is there as well, and that has to be understood. But I'd like to talk about those three this evening, and I'll try to do the best I can. I've always struggled in this area trying to explain this, but I've really tried to think about it, and thinking about it this evening. Because you run across James, you have a hard argument for faith, but we're understanding grace through faith. So first I'd like to talk about grace, then I'd like to talk about faith, and then I'd like to talk about works. Number one, when we talk about grace, a terminology that is thrown out a lot of times is unmerited favor. And I think that that's fair, but I think as we understand grace, grace is used many times throughout the Bible in different contexts, and let me explain that I think that grace, when you read it, it's going to fall in one of two contexts. Is number one, is that grace sometimes, I think, is used in the idea of kindness. Is grace sometimes, when you run across the word, is used in relation to kindness. I think grace is unmerited favor. Certainly, if you think of it as an undeserved opportunity that God has afforded us, but grace is associated with kindness. Luke chapter 2 and verse 40 would be an example of that. It said, "And the child grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him." The grace of God, certainly God is kind, and I think that kindness can be associated with grace. There's no doubt about that. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 6, it says, "Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one." But the grace that's really our topic this evening is really the salvation of mankind, the grace which God offers. In Titus chapter 3 and verse 7, it says, "You've been justified by His grace. We should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life." Grace in relation to the opportunity which God has afforded to us, the undeserved opportunity that God has afforded to us to become Christians and to be saved. And when I think about Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, where it says grace through faith, I don't know if this is the perfect way to explain it, but this is the way I have kind of viewed it throughout my life. Is grace, when you really think about it, is God's part to the equation. And faith is our part. See, there's a lot of individuals that are going to say grace only, grace only, grace only. But the problem is if you just put salvation completely in God's hands, which we are afforded an opportunity that we do not deserve, I understand God's peace, but we're afforded this opportunity, that is certainly God's part of salvation. Now we understand that is received through faith. That is received through faith. We can't leave out that equation. If it's grace only, then would the whole world just be saved like that? If it was just grace alone, humans don't have to respond in any way. We don't have to interact. Really, every individual would be saved if it was grace alone. The opportunity that is given. But the thing I want to understand about both sides of this, grace and faith, is both of these are very active. Is when you think about the grace of God, and you think about how the opportunity was afforded to us to become Christians, we understand that we start to look at it, and there was a lot that was done on our behalf so that opportunity would be made available to us. We think about the sacrifice of Jesus and Him going to the cross. If there is a whole lot of there, if God's part was very active, we see the love of God, we see the actions of God that were bestowed on our behalf, that grace is really, we think of God getting involved in this. If you will. Is grace is not a passive pity, if you think of it that way. Is that the grace that God affords to us was active and it needed action connected to it. And we see in Titus chapter 3 and verse 7, it says, "Having been justified by His grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life." And we think about that grace and that opportunity that we have, and we think about Jesus in Philippians chapter 2 verses 5 through 8, where we have this idea of Jesus leaving heaven. So us having this opportunity, the grace of God, we understand that God did a whole lot so opportunity could be afforded to us. It certainly was not deserved. We can't go to Jesus and say, you should have died for me. The opportunity which is given was given by God, and we certainly see the love that is there. But there's an idea out there, if you have to do anything, if we do something, can we really say that we're saved by grace? And I think it's possible because grace is really, when I view it as the opportunity. It's God's part. It's God has done everything that he can possibly do to pave the way for us. He sent his son. He sent powerful messages. We have all the preaching. We have the Bible before us. We really have everything that we need. But if it's grace alone, like so many of our religious neighbors say, I think you do fall into a little bit of a problem. Because Titus chapter 2 and verse 11 says this. It says, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It says, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. If it's grace alone, then would not every individual be saved?
Amen.
And I think that's where so many of our religious neighbors fall short. Is that if you actually go to Ephesians, where many times they'll turn their Bibles to, it says by grace through faith. Grace is important. It's needed. Without it, we have no hope. But that's the opportunity which God has afforded. It's unmerited favor. We cannot say that we deserve God going to the cross, Jesus going to the cross, but that's exactly what he did to afford us that opportunity. Not only that, when we read through the Bible, we get all these ideas that there are going to be individuals that are lost. We think of Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, where it talks about the narrow path and the broad way. If it's grace alone, then there should not be two paths. There should just be one path. Everyone's covered by the grace of God. But the grace of God is certainly the opportunity, and that is the divine peace of salvation. And there are many people of the past that really focus on grace, and grace is an important and essential part, but we can't forget about through faith. And that's where James chapter 2 comes in. Because many of our denominational friends, if they read through James chapter 2, they start to struggle quite a bit. Because they're like, whoa, 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 what's this faith piece? You know, because I thought that nothing needed to be done. But we start to look at faith, and once again, grace is many times used out through the scriptures as kindness. Many times it's used in relation to the connection to salvation, that unmerited favor which God has afforded to us. But faith is kind of the same thing, is that throughout the scriptures we find the faith, which is really the system. But we find other places where faith, I should think, just means conviction. I think Romans chapter 14 and verse 23 is an example of that. Faith is used, but I think it's just talking about personal conviction. Romans chapter 14 verse 23, it says, but he who doubts is condemned if he eats because he does not eat from faith. I think what we're talking about is personal conviction. So faith, certainly we're talking about belief, but it's certainly a special belief. It's a belief that is always connected to action. And if it's not connected to action, I think what you have is not faith. And that is exactly what I think we see being laid out in James, is that if we have a belief that is not tied to action, what do we have? We really have nothing. Think about that. I hear what God says, but I'm not going to do anything. I hear what God says, but I'm never going to respond. I'm never going to act. So really, when we look at faith, really, it's a crisis of definition many times. And I think that when we start to properly define faith, we start to see the biblical faith that God wants us to have is a working, active faith. Can a dead faith save? Powerful question that is asked as we go through. But we have grace, which I believe is God's side. And certainly his grace, that opportunity that's afforded to us, he put a lot of, it's operative. He died on our behalf. Then we have the faith part. And the question is there anything needed connected to our faith? And I think James, as we start to read through, that our faith should be working. It should be connected to certain things. In Romans chapter 16, verse 26, I think we get the idea of obedience and faith are connected. In Romans chapter 16 and verse 26, it says, but now made manifest and by the prophetic scriptures made known to all the nations according to the commandments of the everlasting God for obedience to the faith. Obedience and faith, I believe, are connected. I think works and faith are connected. The question is what type of works are we talking about? In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 6, it says, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails, but faith working through love. But faith working through love. Faith connected to action. Faith connected to doing things. What type of things are we doing? We're doing what God says. Why would we run around and call ourselves Christians if we're not going to do what God says? And I think that there's a disconnection many times is what the religious world has tried to do is they've tried to take belief and they've tried to really make it the same as faith, but a belief without works, as we really see in James, a belief that does not have works is dead. And faith is when we believe and we act and we do those things which God has asked. And I think that's really what we see all throughout the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 8, verse 12, it says, "But when they believed Philip, as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Christ Jesus, both men and women were baptized." Wait, they believed, and then they did what? They were baptized. When we believe, when we have faith, we will do those things which God has asked us to do. When we believe, we act. And when we have faith, we act. And unfortunately, when we look at that, the religious world has run away from that in many respects. And we can find examples in the scriptures as we go through. Is right there in James chapter 2, it says even the demons believe. Well, what separates the demon? The demon believes. The demon knows there's God, but the demon does not take appropriate action based off of what God says. The same thing in John chapter 12, I believe, is found. In John chapter 12, verses 42 through 43, it says, "Nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him." We have individuals that believe, but they're not going to take appropriate action. There's got to be some type of separation, and that's what individuals, I think, many times struggle with, is there's going to be some type of separation between the faith and the law. Because if it's grace alone, then everyone's saved. Well, what's the separation? I think Ephesians chapter 2 gives it, and I think James chapter 2 gives it, is it's the idea that when we believe, we will act appropriately. Faith is connected. And you can just read what Mickey read to us again and again and again, and that powerful idea is given. In James chapter 2 and verse 26, it says, "For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also." So when we're saved by grace, through faith, certainly there is God's part, the undeserved opportunity which is afforded to us, the unmerited favor which God has given, that is needed. Without that, we have no hope. But then there's true faith, which means we believe God and we will do those things which He has said. And certainly when it comes to what He's telling us to do to be saved. Is if God told you what to do to be saved, would you go through with it? And I think we get to see people all throughout the Bible, we get to see their faith tested. God is going to say many times what they need to do to be saved physically, and they act appropriately. And all of us in all those situations, even our denominational friends, will say if they did not act appropriately, they would not be saved. We can just go down through the list. We can start talking about Noah. What do you think would happen to Noah if he didn't follow the directions and he didn't build the ark? Well, he wouldn't have been saved. I think most of our religious neighbors will come to that conclusion. We think of the walls of Jericho. God tells Joshua to walk around the walls of Jericho. He gives them the direction. And by faith, Joshua does those things. And what happens? The walls come down. God says, this is what's going to happen if you do what I say. But do we do those things which God has said to become Christians? We understand we're not going to live perfect lives. But when it comes to becoming a New Testament Christian, that is in the reach. For us to do those things which God has asked. We talked about grace. We talked about faith. I want to talk about works because in Ephesians chapter, in Ephesians there, as it goes through that passage, it says, "Saved by grace through faith and not of works, that any man should boast." And I think the question we have to ask ourselves is what type of work are we talking about? In Ephesians, it talks about works that we can boast of. I think in the Bible, there are three types of works, and some people might disagree with me, but there's three types of works that I see in the Bible. The law of Moses, personal merit, and obedience. Those are the works that I see. Works of the law of Moses, works of personal merit, and then work, really, of obedience or faith. And the question is what were you talking about? And a lot of people say, well, there's not different works in the Bible. Well, if I can direct your attention to Romans chapter 4, and then we're going to go to James chapter 2. And Romans chapter 4, you read through these verses, it's almost going to give us this idea that work, that Abraham was not justified by work. That's certainly the idea that we come away with. But what's interesting is James is going to say the exact opposite. In Romans chapter 4, it says, "What then shall we say? That Abraham our father was found according to the flesh. For if Abraham was justified by works, he had something of which to boast, but not before God. For what does the scripture, say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now to him, whose works and wages are not counted as grace, but as debt. Now a lot of people say, well, it sounds like that we almost have Abraham not being justified by works. But the problem is we know the Bible doesn't contradict itself. Turn over to James chapter 2 and verse 21. It says, was not Abraham our father justified by works? So in Romans, it's talking about works that perhaps Abraham could boast of. And I think those many times we could put under the category of the law of Moses or personal merit. But in James, it says he was justified by works. When was he justified by works? When he was offering his son. How could you be justified when you're offering your son? Because you're doing what God asked. And that's exactly what we have, is we have works of faith and obedience. We have works of faith and obedience. And there is a separation there. It's almost given us the idea Abraham's not justified by works, but then it basically says he is justified by works. Well, what is it? What type of works are we talking about? See, people can boast of personal merit works. They can boast about them. But when you're talking about works of faith, talking about works of obedience, we should not brag about those. And in fact, it would be foolish to brag about such things. And I can give you example after example after example. To Noah, bang his chest and say, I was saved from the flood. Look at this ark I built. So beautiful, so great. Well, if God wouldn't have told you what to do, you would have never built that ark. You would have never been in that situation. When people are saved by faith, when they obey what God says, they know exactly where the connection is. They're not bragging about it. Look what I did. You know, we go back to the Old Testament. We go to 2 Kings chapter 5. We have Naaman. Naaman has leprosy. He has leprosy, and they say, dip in the Jordan 7 times. And guess what? When he came out of that water, did he say, oh, there's something special about that water. I need to take some of that home. No, he knew it was an act of faith. He knew that God told him to do that, and if he did that, he would be cleansed. He wasn't bragging about that. Did you see me dip in the Jordan 7 times? I did a great job, didn't I? I did a great job. We cannot brag when it is an act of faith, when it's an act of obedience. We're just doing what God says. And I think God, by design, makes acts of faith make no physical sense many times on the physical plane of life. Walk around the walls of Jericho. That's a test of their faith. Will they do what God said? If they do what God says, the walls will come down. Preparing an ark, when perhaps many individuals think it had not rained up until this point. There had at least never been a global flood, and God says there is something coming that's going to destroy the whole world. And Noah, by faith, had to act appropriately and do those things that he needed to do. In the Bible, there are different types of works. And when it comes to works of obedience or acts of faith, we can't brag about such things. We remember the pool of Siloam. Remember the mud on the eyes and going washing in the pool of Siloam. Could you brag and say, oh, you know, I wash my eyes real well. No, the connection is that God said do this, and when you do it, you will receive those things which God has said. And when it comes to the New Testament, many individuals' faith is tested. It's going to be tested on will you do what God has said, or will you not? We're saved by grace through faith. God has given us the opportunity. The question is will we believe God enough to do those things which He has asked us to do in terms of becoming a New Testament Christian? And when we do those things, can we pound our chests and boast? No, we cannot. Now, works of merit, there's certain things that people could definitely do in relation to that. And I think in many of these passages, we have to ask ourselves, what type of work are we talking about? I know I'm not always the best at explaining things. I try to explain it as best I can. But there are works of obedience. And no one can take credit for really acts of faith because we understand it would be foolish to kind of do so. We do not have Naaman coming out of the water and says, look at what I did. I cleansed myself by dipping 7 times. He knows exactly where the credit goes. We understand that Joshua did not pound his chest and say, look, I made these walls fall down. He knew exactly where the connection was. And when we are baptized for remission of our sins, I think that we have enough sense that we know where the connection is. I can tell you that I would not be immersed in water. I mean, if you think of it, why would I be immersed in water for the remission of sins? The only reason I do that is because God told me to. Well, what's the water got to do with it? God said that's what we should do. And if that's what God said that we should do, that's what we should be involved in. That's what we should be thinking about and considering. Now, a lot of times they say, well, you know, okay? Work. Did you know that believing is a work? In John chapter 6, verses 28 and 29. See, they'll say, saved by grace you're saved, but not of works. And they say, well, baptism is a work, which I think is interesting on multiple levels. But, you know, believing is a work. The question is what type of works are we talking about? Works of obedience and faith. We're not talking about works of personal merit. In John chapter 6, verses 28 and 29, it says, then they said to him, what shall we do that we may work the works of God? Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him who he sent. This is the work of God, that you believe in him who sent you. Believing is a work. Also, I think that when you think about baptism, it's really, truly a work of God. It says that in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 12. It says, buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the working of God. Is that God is working on us. God is involved in this process. If God's not involved in this process, we are certainly in trouble. We're not talking about works of merit. We're talking about works of obedience. We're talking about works of faith. The interesting thing about baptism is that's really the only thing that you don't really do, if you will, in the gospel plan of salvation, like personally. Personally, I hear. Personally, I believe. Personally, I repent. Personally, I confess. But baptism, I have to submit to somebody else doing that to me, if that makes sense. If I have to hear, I have to believe, I have to repent, I have to confess, and then I've got to go somewhere else and say, would you baptize me? I don't know if that's making any sense, but it's something that somebody else does to me. When you think about the Great Commission, going to all the world, baptizing them. It's something that someone else is doing. Now, we understand that we, our mindset, we understand that we're being baptized, and we're dying to all sins, we're raising again. But this idea that baptism is a work, so it's excluded. Well, believing is a work. The question is, what type of works are we talking about? When God tells us what to do, we should certainly act in that way. You know, I'm not always the best at explaining things, but let me try to give you an example from the Bible. Somebody saved by grace through faith. Go to Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6, I think it'll be a good example for us to close this evening. In Genesis chapter 6 and verse 8, it talks about the wickedness of the world. And then in verse 8 it says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now many individuals would have to stop there, would they not? Because people are saved by grace only. And if Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, the story should be over in verse 8. But the story's not over. The story's not over. It says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord in verse 8. And we're going to continue down, and we're going to see that what is going to happen is, in verse 14, it says, make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Make rooms in the ark and cover it on the inside and the outside. And we see that Noah builds the ark, verse 22 of chapter 6. It says, thus Noah did according to all that God commanded him, so did. I think Noah is a perfect example, just like all the others in the Hall of Fame of Faith. He is saved by grace through faith. Is God, he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. A lot of people like to end the story right there. But the story doesn't end there. It says he finds grace in the eyes of the Lord, and then we see him a few verses later building the ark. The question I want to ask Noah, why are you building the ark? You're saved by grace alone. And you know why I think Noah would say I'm building the ark? Because God told me to. He had faith. And that's exactly what it tells us in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7, it says, by faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household. When we look at that physical situation, we see Noah was saved by grace through faith, and really not of works of personal merit. And we see that. Why are you even touching the ark? Why are you building the ark? You're saved by grace. No, we're saved by grace through faith. If God afforded him an opportunity, he was divinely warned about things that were coming, and Noah responded appropriately. He followed God's instructions. It's interesting when people talk about faith today, because when I look through Hebrews chapter 11, and I read James chapter 2, and I see that faith is connected to work, we see very clearly that the person that's trying to follow God is going to ask. There's a lot of people that say, I have faith, I have faith, I have faith. But they won't be baptized. And this might sound incredibly hard, but I do think it's simple. If God tells us what to do to be saved, and we don't do it, where does that put us? If God told Noah what he needed to do to be saved, and he did not do it, what situation would that put him in? If God told Joshua, he says, I've given you the city. He tells him what to do for the walls to come down in relation to Jericho. If he did not do that, where would he stand? The walls would not be down. If Naaman did not dip in the river seven times, where would he stand? But people want to say, I have faith, I have faith, I have faith. Then do what the Bible says. Just do what the Bible says. You can say whatever you want. A lot of people want to say they have faith, but I know a lot of individuals that would not walk around the walls of Jericho because they would not be baptized. I know a lot of people that would not build the ark because they would not be baptized. I know a lot of people that would not leave their land as Abraham did because they would not be baptized. We're saved by grace through faith. Certainly, it's not of ourselves. It's not a work that we can brag about. It's just being obedient to what God has said. Perhaps you need to become a New Testament Christian this evening. Perhaps you need the prayers of the church. We'd love to help you in any way that we can if you come while we stand and while we stand.